UGA.American.edu.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. Hope you had a great Christmas, if you celebrated Christmas. And welcome back to listening to WMNF in Tampa. What a great Talking Animals we just heard. All those musical songs about animals. Well, I'm going to suggest some news topics that we could chat about. And let's see where you want to take the phone conversation. We do this pretty often, especially on days where there is not a major breaking news story. There's a lot of important news out there I want to tell you about. And then I'll play a few sound bites for you, and then let's see where you want to take it. First of all, I don't think NPR reported this. I missed just a second or two of the NPR report, but the Kremlin says the Russian military has successfully tested a new hypersonic glide vehicle. It said Russian President Vladimir Putin oversaw the test launch of the avant-garde vehicle from the Defense Ministry's control room. In today's test, the weapon was launched from the Dobrovolsky missile base in southern Ural Mountains. The Kremlin says it successfully hit a designated practice target on the Kura shooting range on Kamchatka, which is about 3,700 miles away. Putin named the avant-garde, which is among the array of new nuclear weapons that Putin presented to Russia in March, saying they cannot be intercepted. Putin says the avant-garde hypersonic glide vehicle has an intercontinental range and can fly in the atmosphere at 20 times the speed of sound. Putin says it heads to target like a meteorite, like a fireball. And three local cities have spilled almost a million gallons of wastewater in recent days. Records from the Florida Department of Environmental Protection show that Clearwater was responsible for the largest spill. About 750,000 gallons of wastewater was discharged last Friday. Tampa had a 38,000 a gallon spill on the same day. The Tampa Bay Times reports that St. Petersburg has had three spills in the last few days, totaling about 70,000 gallons. In the past 3 years, more than a billion gallons of wastewater has been dumped in the area, and much of it made its way into Tampa Bay. There's a front page story on the New York Times, in the New York Times today. President Trump avoided serving in Vietnam, largely due to a 1968 diagnosis of bone spurs. 2 years after being a student athlete and after he'd been declared fit for military service and after four education deferments, now the daughters of a podiatrist in Queens tell the New York Times that their late father often spoke of helping Trump avoid Vietnam as a favor to Trump's father, Fred Trump, the podiatrist's landlord. The podiatrist, Dr. Larry Brownstein, died in 2007. No paper records have been found to support the claim, but his role in helping Donald Trump get a military exemption from the draft during the Vietnam War was family lore, according to his daughter, Dr. Alyssa Brownstein. Brownstein tells the Times, "I know it was a favor," after the newspaper contacted her and her sister, who corroborated Brownstein's account. They said the implication was always that Donald Trump did not really have a serious foot problem, and that a second podiatrist, Dr. Manny Weinstein, who moved into a Fred Trump-owned apartment in 1968, may have taken part in the apparent scheme. The younger Dr. Brownstein says the small favor their father got was access to Fred Trump. If there was anything wrong in the building that he used for his office, she said, my dad would call Trump, and then Fred Trump would take care of it immediately. Times reports that the elder Dr. Brownstein also got a favorable rent rate from Fred Trump. So that story is on the front page of the New York Times today. And a 7-year-old who talked to President Trump still left out the milk and cookies for Santa on Christmas Eve. That's after Trump told her it was marginal for someone her age to still believe in Santa Claus. Then again, Coleman Lloyd, the young girl, the 7-year-old from Lexington, South Carolina, tells the newspaper in Charleston that she'd never heard the word marginal before. Coleman had called the NORAD Track Systems program, the NORAD Track Santa program, on Christmas Eve. And then, a few minutes later, President Trump was on the line. And this was what President Trump said to the seven-year-old girl on Christmas Eve. So that was President Trump asking this young girl on Christmas Eve, are you still a believer in Santa? And she responded, yes, sir. And then Trump added, because it's seven, that's marginal, right? And she replied, yes, sir. Those are some of the stories we could talk about. But there's a bigger, more important story, and that is the government shutdown and what's happening to people who are being rounded up on the U.S. border as they try to get asylum here in the U.S. U.S. Customs and Border Protection will start conducting medical checks on every child in its custody now that a second immigrant child has died while in care. Customs and Border says that 8-year-old Felipe Gomez Alonso of Guatemala had been in its care along with his father since December 18th, and an agent first noticed on Monday that the child had a cough and a glassy eye. Or glassy eyes, rather. A 7-year-old Guatemalan girl died earlier this month. This latest victim, 8-year-old Felipe, died at midnight on Christmas Eve. So that is causing some trouble. In the last few days, lots of people, especially on the Fox News channels, have been urging President Trump to stay firm on his request that he get $5 billion to start building a larger wall along the U.S. border. And let's go back to some of what Fox has said in the last few days. Let's go to the Lou Dobbs show. There was a guest host on the show the other day, and he was joined by Blaise Ingolia, who's the chair of the Florida Republican Party, the outgoing chair of the Florida Republican Party. Here's what they said about President Trump standing firm on building the wall.
While Congress struggles to secure the $5 billion for Trump's border wall, one American is taking matters into his own hands. Air Force veteran and Purple Heart recipient Brian Colfage started a GoFundMe campaign earlier this week to raise $1 billion for Trump's wall. In just 5 days, it's raised over $13 million due to donations from Americans nationwide. Joining me now, Blaise Ingolia. He is the chairman of the Republican Party of Florida, and Gina Loudon, political analyst and member of President Trump's media advisory board. Good to.
All right, so listen closely to what they say and what they don't say when Blaise Ingolia and Gina Loudon are being questioned on the Lou Dobbs show the other night.
See you both. Oh, also, Gina's author of this great book, Mad Politics. Wanted to get that in there, Gina. Blaise, let me go to you first. Absolutely. One of the reasons President Trump was elected clearly was the wall. It ain't for nothing that he said it at virtually every campaign stop he was at. Democrats know this. That's why they don't want to give this piddling amount, $5 billion for the wall. But that's Americans. You still see, I mean, this is not just symbolic, this guy who has a GoFundMe account. I mean, there are millions and millions of Americans who voted for President Trump because of the wall.
Yeah, it's not just symbolic. What the Democrats really need to understand that it was a mandate. People of this nation want to secure the borders because this is what happens. You get crime, you get drugs crossing the border. And look, when you put this whole thing into perspective, you're talking about $5 billion out of a $4 trillion budget. It's not that much money. So the Democrats are going to underestimate this issue once again at their own peril like they did in 2016.
I think, Gina, they're also underestimating the intelligence of the American public to figure out what's going on. They all come out with these claims of compassion. You know, we are so compassionate for the children, for DACA, for the Dreamers, et cetera, et cetera. What about compassion for the angel moms? What about compassion for all the people who've died of from drug overdoses as a result of the extraordinary amount of heroin coming across the border and other drugs that lead to the deaths of people? I mean, where's the compassion there?
Right. And again, this is about action more than words. They can talk about compassion all day long, David, but they're the ones who voted against ending sanctuary cities. They're the ones that voted, against... what am I trying to say? The Kate's Law. That's the one. I couldn't think of the name. Kate's Law. Bless her heart. As moms are approaching Christmas time right now, they're thinking about these angel moms who are forever without their children. And they're wondering, this party that talks all the time about compassion, where have their votes been as crime and drugs and murder pour across our southern border?
All right. So there you've got a Fox News segment from... last week, urging President Trump to stay firm on the government shutdown. And we heard the panelists there, including Blaise Ngolia from Spring Hill, a local member of the state legislature, and also the chair of the Florida Republican Party, talking about the issue. The host was saying that the $5 billion that was wanted for the wall to begin construction of this large and long wall, it's a piddling amount. Actually, Blaise Ngolia said it was a mandate that President Trump build the wall, and that heroin and drugs were pouring over the border, according to Gina Loudon. And one of the big issues was left out of that discussion. And I played part of it. I watched the whole 5 minutes of it, and there's a big issue missing from that discussion. Do you know what it is? The phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to another Fox News segment. This also from the past few days. The host, Judge Jeanine Pirro, was urging President Trump in an eight-minute-long segment to stand firm on the issue of U.S. funding for the border wall. She wants Congress to pass that $5 billion to build the border wall, but she too leaves something important out. Let's listen to Jeanine Pirro on Fox News the other night.
With all due respect, I would like to direct my open to the President of the United States. Mr. President, I understand the pressure that you are under from every side. But the wall at our southern border is a promise that you made, ran on, got elected on, and must keep. But more than that, it is your legacy, and you cannot allow them to force you to compromise. So here we are, days before the Christmas holiday, and you are facing the most important issues that Americans elected you to confront: your promise to build the wall. Now, there's never been a president more dedicated to fulfilling a campaign promise than you. Unlike just about every other president in recent memory, you say what you mean and you mean what you say. That is why your base is so loyal to you and continues to grow. You have done what no other president has had the fortitude to do. The wall is no different. And you must fulfill this fundamental promise to the American people. You cannot buckle. Now, there's no question that on January 3rd, your presidency will face even more obstruction and resistance by the Democrats than you have seen in the last 2 years. They will stop at nothing. They are callously salivating at the prospect of your collapse. The only way to go into this is to let Pelosi and Schumer know that now they are going to have a fight every step of the way. They will have to deal with the toxic environment they created. No one has your strength, Mr. President, your perseverance, or your determination. You instinctively understand what needs to be done and how to do it. And you need to build this wall.
All right, that was just the opening of Jeanine Pirro's statement the other night on Fox News, urging President Trump to stand firm, keep the government shutdown in place until the Democrats agree to fund the border wall, for starters, with $5 billion. What was left out of that one, too? I checked out probably six or seven Fox News segments in which something major was left out. Jeanine Pirro talked about the president being one of the few presidents or the best at fulfilling campaign promises. What was left out As we listened to Fox News, and you could tell that Judge Pirro there was talking directly to the president, as if the president as if she expects the president to listen to Fox News. What did she not remind the president of? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And Jeff Haynes is our phone producer today. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. And let's go to Jim in Pinellas Park. Jim, did you detect anything left out of all those Fox News segments?
Yes, there were a couple of things that struck me. For one, Hillary had more votes than Trump, so that is not a mandate. Second, the wall is not going to keep out those people who have criminal or ill will towards the United States. The wall is just like a door lock on a door. It keeps out the good people. It's not going to keep out those that want to come in and sell drugs or do any other thing or do any other damage to the United States. It's a fallacy, and unfortunately, I don't think they have the intelligence to understand that.
All right, Jim, anything else left out?
That's what struck me first.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. All right, was anything left out of those Fox News segments? Was there anything really missing? Let's go to Rebecca in Safety Harbor. Hey, Rebecca, you're on M&F.
Yes, I know what was missing. It was the part where we weren't going to pay for the wall, that Mexico was going to pay for the wall.
Aha, you got it. So why do you think Fox News, in communicating directly with the president, doesn't remind him of what he said?
Because they're a bunch of liars just like him. They don't want us to remember, they don't want us to think that the wall is going to be something that doesn't cost us any money. They just want us to build the wall because they're as hateful as he is, and they don't care how it gets paid for as long as they get this wall that they think upholds his promise, which the promise was also that Mexico is going to pay for the wall.
Now, in your recollection, did President Trump ever say that we're going to renegotiate NAFTA and then over time, over a series of years, Mexico, with the renegotiated NAFTA, is going to... In your recollection, did he ever say that?
Nope.
All right, Rebecca, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right, let's go back and listen to what President Trump said during the campaign. We'll listen to several of his promises in total about building the wall.
Build the wall. Build the wall. Don't worry, we're going to build the wall. That wall will go up so fast, your head will spin. And we're going to make that wall as beautiful as a wall can be.
We're going to have big, beautiful doors in that wall.
Walls are so easy, that'll go up like magic.
Mexico will pay for the wall 100%. Mexico is going to pay for the wall. And who is going to pay for the wall? I met with the president of Mexico, you all saw, right? And he's a very nice guy, and I know that he will be thrilled when I tell him, we're building a wall and you're paying for it.
We've got to stop the drugs from pouring in. We've got to stop people from coming in illegally.
We will build the wall and we'll stop those drugs from pouring in. We will ask Congress to reform our visa and immigration programs to protect jobs and wages for American workers. I love American workers.
You know, we fight for other countries so they can have a border, but we don't fight for our own borders. Isn't it incredible? People will enter and come into our country, people that you'll love and people that will love you, but they will come into our country legally.
We want people to come into our country, but they have to come in legally.
Come in, but they have to come in legally. Reports went out last week. Oh, Mexico's not going to pay for the wall because of a reimbursement. What's the difference? I want to get the wall started. I don't want to wait a year and a half until I make my deal with Mexico.
I never said they're going to pay from the start. I said Mexico will pay for the wall.
When does construction begin?
As soon as we can. As soon as we can physically do it.
For months?
I would say in months, yeah. I would say in months. Certainly planning is starting immediately.
Oh, we're going to build the wall. Don't worry about it. We're building the wall. We're building the wall. In fact, it's going to start soon. Way ahead of schedule. Way ahead of schedule.
President Trump, his campaign promises about building the wall, it would go up like magic. It would go up immediately. Mexico would pay for it. Was he telling the truth? Was he lying to get elected? What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. He said he would pass protection for American workers. We know that some automobile companies are moving some of their work from Northeast Ohio to Mexico. Did the president pass protection for American workers? And that if you were to stop drugs from being imported from Mexico, and you were looking for ways to smuggle drugs from Mexico, would that wall stop the ways that you can envision smuggling from Mexico? We've got some ex-smugglers that live here in the Tampa Bay area who have participated at one time or another in illegal drug running from South America and from Central America. Would that wall stop the illegal drug running that you're aware of that took place right here in the Tampa Bay area? And are there, if the wall goes up, are there ways that you could think of to get around the wall in order to smuggle drugs? What do you think? 813-239-9663. The president said that Mexico would pay for the wall. This is what the new president of Mexico said when he was asked that question a few months ago. Here's Mexico's new president, Enrique Peña Nieto, speaking about whether or not his country would pay for the wall.
Lamento y repruebo la decisión de Estados Unidos de continuar la construcción de un muro que desde hace años, lejos de unirnos, nos divide. México no cree en los muros. Lo he dicho una y otra vez. México no pagará ningún muro. Estas órdenes ejecutivas también ocurren en un momento en que nuestro país está iniciando pláticas para negociar las nuevas reglas de cooperación, comercio, inversión, seguridad y migración en la región de Norteamérica. México ofrece y exige respeto, como la nación plenamente soberana que somos. México refrenda su amistad con el pueblo de los Estados Unidos y su voluntad para llegar a acuerdos con su gobierno. Acuerdos que sean en favor de México y los mexicanos.
That's Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto. He says, I regret and reject the decision of the U.S. to build the wall. He says, I have said time and time again, Mexico will not pay for any wall. And he says, Mexico reaffirms its friendship with the people of the United States and its willingness to reach agreements with its government. So Mexico doesn't seem to be convinced by the president. Fox seems to be ignoring the Mexico part of the promise. Where does that leave us? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Teresa in St. Pete. Hi, Teresa, you're on MNF. What would you like to comment about?
Of course, he's not going to mention that Mexico's going to pay for the wall. But they also left out the fact that Republicans have been in charge of the House and the Senate for the past 8 years. 2 years under his administration, and they've never given him the money for the wall. And Schumer's got no power in the Senate, so what, I mean, you know, and the House isn't going to pay, you know, the Democrats better not cave. I don't care if the government is shut down for a while. We're all going to suffer, and maybe then that'll wake people up. I really don't know, but I hope the Democrats don't cave in the House. But his own party wouldn't give him the money for the wall the last 2 years. They're also leaving that part out.
So... Why do you think Fox News? Yeah, I mean, you know, its viewers are watching. It's probably you know, one third of the cable news TV audience. Why do you think Fox News doesn't mention the Mexico part at all?
Well, like the woman said before, they're liars. They don't want that to be because they know Mexico's not going to pay for that wall. That's not going to happen. They know it, so they've got to twist the the fact around. And they got to blame the Democrats now because now we've taken control of the House. But they can blame the Democrats until, you know, Haiti freezes over. But they've been in power for the last 2 years under his administration, and they've never given him the money for the wall. They didn't need Democrat support. They had plenty of votes in both houses, in the House and the Senate, to give him that money for the wall. Yet they never did.
Yeah, but in fairness, the Democrats could have blocked it. I mean, the Democrats could have blocked the payment because the Republicans needed 61 votes. They didn't need just a majority of votes. So the Republicans could have tried it when they, you know, in the last 7 years or 8 years, as you said, but they didn't have, they couldn't overcome the filibuster.
Oh, I thought they were doing 51.
No,
they
were doing
the nuclear option.
No, they haven't done the nuclear option on this one.
Oh, for the
all
wall?
Right. Yeah.
Because Republicans, they probably don't really want to build a stupid thing either. I don't know. I thought they were doing the nuclear option where they only needed 51. So I was like, well, they've got the votes. Why don't they just do it? Oh, I didn't realize they didn't do the nuclear. They did it for everything else. So I just don't understand why they didn't do it for wall either.
Yeah, okay, but they do have a lot of power up there. All right, Teresa, thanks
right.
a lot.
Okay.
All right,
thanks.
Good to hear from you.
Bye.
And let's go to Scott in St. Petersburg. Scott, what do you think?
Well, I got a couple points. First off, on the wall, I mean, we're trying to keep out these terrorists and drug runners. But, you know, and if you look at the year of 2018, we had more Americans killed on our soil by white supremacists than illegal terrorists. You know, that's one point. And the other point is, with the drugs coming over, I mean, what about this fentanyl? That's supposed to be what's killing everybody now, and that's all coming from China. So are we going to help China build another wall there?
Oh, you're talking about drugs like fentanyl?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the president is not talking about that drug. That drug is deadly.
Right. Right. So, you know, that doesn't play into his game plan.
Yeah.
You know, worse than what's coming over from Mexico right now.
But why do you think he's able to convince probably a third of the country or maybe 40% of the country that all the danger we face is from the southern border? How is he able to do that?
Well, it's his core. You know, they're so afraid of our country turning brown or other than white. So, you know, whatever he says is going to help them thin out the non-white and keep it that way. So that's going to make them happy. So whatever it takes, they're for. So he just lies his ass off, and, you know, they'll follow him, you know, like he's some kind of deity.
And, Scott, can you figure out ways, I mean, just in your own imagination, ways to bring in drugs to the U.S. that don't have to go through the border wall?
Well, I mean, anymore with drones and things, you'll be able to fly packages anywhere over the wall and drop them, or from Canada especially, you can, you know, find new avenues to bring drugs in from there.
Yeah. All right, Scott, thanks a lot. Great to hear from
you. Certainly.
All right, thanks. All right, we're talking about the government shutdown. We're talking about the death of another immigrant, this time a young boy from Guatemala, 8-year-old Felipe Gomez Alonso. And we're talking about the government shutdown, as I mentioned. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Adam writes this: it's funny the conservatives are now doing the same thing with the Mexico will pay for the wall bit that they do with the Second Amendment, repeating the first part but leaving out the second part, which is perhaps the most important part. That's a part of Adam's email. Adam, thank you. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Several of our listeners did get what Fox was missing out. Gregory got it. And thank you, Gregory, for getting that part about what Fox is missing. The deaths now of at least two people, maybe more, in U.S. custody is causing a lot of concern. Let's go back to last week, and we're going to hear some testimony from the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. She appeared before the House Judiciary Committee to offer testimony about why a 7-year-old, then under her agency's custody, a 7-year-old child died under her agency's custody. She was questioned by a couple of Democrats. We're going to hear Luis Gutierrez make an opening statement, and Luis Gutierrez is from Illinois. And then We're going to hear the secretary's statement, and then we'll hear David Sickling, a Democrat from Rhode Island, talking about the death of the first young Guatemalan girl.
Marshall's secretary during the holidays, Christmas, as they like to make sure and specify. I suspect that if you still have your job, which seems to always be a big question, in 3 weeks, we'll see if you still have the same sympathetic questions when you come back. Because there's one thing that this administration's done better than any other administration in American history, and that is lie. President Trump descended the golden escalators at Trump Tower to announce his candidacy by saying Mexico was sending us the worst rapists, murderers. Then he said he was required to break up migrant families because of bad laws that the Democrats gave us. How about the one about Mexico paying for the wall? You want $5 million and you want $5 billion and you want the American public to pay for it. Isn't Mexico supposed to pay for it? Wasn't that the campaign promise? No, that's just another lie. It is as you can't see the reality of modern immigration or contributions of anyone who came from countries other than Norway and other parts of Europe. It's as if you and the Trump administration are blind. And you know what? It seems like you agree with Tucker Carlson that immigrants only bring danger and dirt and division. But I have to say the all-time record for lying in the face of all the evidence was a tweet you, Madam Secretary, sent out on June the 17th. And it says, "We do not have a policy of separating families at the border, period." That's your Twitter account. That's what you put out. Yet you came here today to tell us exactly is your policy of separating families and children from their families. Another lie. A time in which we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, a Jesus Christ who had to flee for his life with Mary and Joseph. Thank God there wasn't a wall that stopped him from seeking refuge in Egypt. Shame on everybody that separates children and allows them to stay at the other side of the border, fearing death, fearing hunger, fearing sickness. Shame on us for wearing our badge of Christianity during Christmas and allow the secretary to come here and lie.
Calling me a liar are fighting words. I'm not a liar. We've never had a policy for family separation. I'm happy to walk the gentleman through it again. A policy of family separation would mean that any family that I encountered in the interior, I would separate. It would mean that any family that I found at a port of entry, I would separate. It would mean that every single family that I found illegally crossing, we would separate. We did none of those. What we did do is uphold the laws that Congress has passed, and we prosecuted those who choose to come here illegally. As far as not being compassionate, let me just tell you what I have done. Of course, he couldn't be bothered to stay, so I'm happy to tell the rest of the committee. What we have done is we have worked extensively with the Northern Triangle countries to find ways to help vulnerable populations as soon in their journey as possible. We have worked against traffickers. We have the first anti-smuggling, anti-trafficking strategy this January. We do investigations. We help survivors. I take personal offense on behalf of the 240,000 men and women of the Department of Homeland Security. Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry, did I understand you correctly to say that as you sit here today, you do not know how many human beings have died while in the custody of the department that you lead? And you, in preparation for today's hearing, you didn't ascertain that number, but you don't know it today?
I don't have an exact figure for you.
Do you have a rough idea?
Sir, what I can tell you
I'm
is...
I'm talking about people who have died in your custody. You don't have the number?
I will get back to you with the number.
Okay.
That was Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen testifying last Thursday in front of the House Judiciary Committee. The two people that we heard from, Congressman David Sickling, a Democrat from Rhode Island, asking the last question there, and Luis Gutierrez from Chicago, Democrat, making the opening statement. Let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. I'm not sure we know exactly how many people have died while in custody. Yet another person has died in the last 48 hours, an 8-year-old named Felipe Gomez Alonso of Guatemala. He died on Christmas Eve. And we still don't know. One other thing that we don't know is how many children are still in custody. Andy writes this, and Andy's one of the people that got it right. When Jeanine Pirro was talking, Andy writes, she forgot to mention his promise that Mexico would pay for the wall. What if he had campaigned, I will build a wall and you will pay for it? Well, what do you think? Would the president have won that election or won as much support if he had told the American public the truth that I will build the wall and you will pay for it? Would he have won? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to, Lynn in Clearwater. Hi, Lynn, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. What I was just listening to, all I can say is, wow, it's so sad. But besides that, I was calling about the wall. Isn't it true that they have built tunnels underground?
They build tunnels. They built doors. Yeah, there's lots of ways to get around it. I think the president, though, in fairness, the president would say, look, I want to go deeper into the ground, so it would be harder to build a tunnel. But I think your larger point is right. There are ways to get around a wall.
Yeah, that's not going to stop anybody. It's not. And to begin with, I don't even believe that the wall is going to get built. I think the money is going to go somewhere else. It's going to some of his friends that want to get filthy rich off of it and just use the taxpayers and take all of their money. So I don't even believe it's so many lies. It's like craziness.
Yeah. Yet some people, I think, don't hear this kind of discussion when they listen to their local radio station or when they listen to cable news. They don't hear this kind of discussion brought up. Mexico is never mentioned on some AM radio stations here in town.
Yeah. And the other thing, I know of states that take control. They have state stores where you have to go to buy your alcohol.
Yeah, like Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Yeah. What if all across America, every state had a state store, and that's where you went to buy your drugs, to buy your liquor. Just imagine the money that each state could make off of that. I don't think there would be a money issue. There wouldn't be any money problems or issues or anything like that with the tax money that each state would collect from drugs. That's the issue. I think somebody needs to take control of it.
The organized crime disappeared for the most part after the Prohibition ended, and if we ended modern Prohibition, maybe the same thing would happen.
Yeah.
Lynn, thanks a lot.
Sure.
All right.
Have a nice day.
All right, you too. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Let's go to Charlie in St. Pete. Hey, Charlie, you're on WMNF.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Several points. Our president talks about saving jobs, but as far as I've heard, it's for your large companies, your big companies that make billions of dollars. That most of your cartels probably make more money off of drugs and human trafficking than the Mexican gross domestic product. I mean, they make more money than Mexico does legally. So they're going to find a way to get around any wall, anything. They're going to get the drugs to this country. So the wall is not anything more than a symbolic thing that's going to make it harder on the people that truly want to get here. And if they truly want to get here, they're going to get here legally. They're not going to try to dig their way through. They're going to come legally. Secondly, if he's going to protect jobs, okay, how many Americans are going to go out there and pick the strawberries and the squash and the cabbages? What about those jobs? And thirdly, National Guard, the $1.6 billion, I believe, that the Democrats offered, why not put that into ground sensors, taking your National Guard troops, at least a percentage of them, putting them with Border Patrol people, training them. It is the National Guard, training them how to intercept illegals that are trying to cross into this country in unprotected areas. I don't understand why that money isn't used for that and those people aren't used for that.
Yeah, there's got to be a smarter way than just to build a wall. And then the other question is, too, you've got some families whose farmland and ranch land borders the border and is on the border, and the wall would interrupt that farmland and ranch land. What are you going to do? What kind of compensation are you going to give to those families? And are you going to really cut back, the land owned by some American ranchers or from the land owned by Mexican ranchers? But your point is a really good one. There's got to be a low-tech, cheap way to determine when people are crossing the border illegally in those deserted areas between the checkpoints.
Ground sensors. Yeah. Infrared.
Yeah. And those are good points. Charlie, thanks a lot.
No problem, brother. Okay. I appreciate the chance to, get other opinions other than those from the people that are making the billions in this country. Because it's people like you and I and the people that are on this radio station that are working our butts off to try to make it. Where I'm not concerned about whether Chevy or Chrysler, what they do right now. What I'm concerned about is what do we do as a nation of people where the middle class has been wiped out.
All right, Charlie, thanks a lot. Thanks.
You're welcome.
That's a good goal. Let's go to Clark in Ybor City. Hi, Clark. You're on WMNF.
Hey, Rob. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. How are you? Happy holidays.
And all the listeners. Lynn pretty much made my point that, that El Chapo showed how tunnels can be built. But the one question I would like somebody to answer is how many miles of wall do they, or silver slats or whatever it is, do they think they're going to get for that $5 billion? Because it's my understanding that the wall would have to be 2,000 miles long. And I think if it could be presented to the supporters out there, how much it's actually going to cost to do all 2,000 miles, that would give them some pause. So I wondered if anybody out there knew how they think the $5 billion would translate into miles of wall or miles of flat, or is it just for feasibility studies and planning? So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Yep.
Thanks for this.
Clark,
thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for that. I looked it up as you were talking, and I'm going to go to Philip Bump on the Washington Post. And the headline of the Washington Post story says, for $18 billion, you could build 32 miles of border wall out of dollar bills. That's one of the answers to that question. You could build... okay, let's see if I could find a more direct answer. 813-239-9663. Brookings Institute issued a report about the real cost of the border wall, and I'm going to try to read it as we take our next phone call. This is WMNF, and we're going to go to, John in Port Richey's been holding for 20 minutes. John, we're going to take you. John, you're on.
Hey, thanks for the show, Rob. I got a few points, and I'll try to be quick and succinct to them. About the campaign promises, a candidate who makes campaign promises are telling people what they want to get done. But once they get into office, I think they find it's a very different issue to get that done. So whether or not they get a campaign promise done or not, I would not say the person lied unless they really knew in their mind that they did. I know Obama didn't get a lot of stuff done. People say he lied. But no, they find out that it's very different when they get into office. What you're saying about Fox News, leaving out that the Mexicans are going to pay for it, but they also leave out the consequences of the action, like the 800,000 people that are going without pay this Christmas. And the reason they do that, along with the conservative radio talk shows like Limbaugh and Hannity, they do this because they're not really news. They're propagandists for conservative ideology. So they'll put a spin on it to make it look as conservative ideology or the person that's pushing that the best light that they can. A final thing is you mentioned about they needed a 60 vote to come over the filibuster. I thought that a while back the Republicans and the Democrats, I think it was under Obama, came up with a thing that said that anything doing with the budget only needed a simple majority vote. Has that changed?
I think in order to get this wall through,
well,
I mean,
no,
they've
hang
got...
on. Has,
Go ahead.
Has that changed? That's all I want to know.
I think it has changed, yes.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I will check it out.
Okay, well, if it hasn't changed, then they could have put it in a budget plan, and that would only take a simple majority vote. But I'm not sure if that's... It might have changed and then take a filibuster. But that would be my thought right there.
Yeah, I think it would take more than 51 votes to get it through. All right, John, thanks a lot.
Okay.
And I don't know. I will check it, though. I did check the cost of the wall. And here is one, and I think this is a pretty good study. It's from the Brookings Institute. The report came out last year. It said what the wall's price tag would be. I'll just read the opening sentence or two sentences. The wall comes with many costs, some obvious, though hard to estimate, some unforeseen. The most obvious is the large financial outlay required to build it in whatever form it eventually takes. Although during the election campaign, candidate Trump claimed that the wall would cost only $12 billion, a Department of Homeland Security internal report in February of last year put the cost at $21.6 billion. But Brookings writes, that may be a major underestimate. And you can look up the study yourself. The wall may cost, as President Trump predicted, $12 billion. The Department of Homeland Security thinks it's $21.6 billion. But Brookings thinks that that $21.6 billion may be a major underestimate. And there's a good, I can send you the link to that Brookings study too. 813-239-9663. Here's an email from 727. Anonymous says there was a campaign promise where we were supposed to have better and more affordable health care implemented so fast that your head would spin. And this person says that didn't happen. All right. Thank you, Anonymous. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Ron writes this, the reason why Fox News, or he describes it as faux news, intentionally stays aligned with Trump just enough to differentiate themselves from fact-based reporting such as ABC, CBS, CNN, NBC, is to protect their cash cow of about 40% of the country who, as Trump's base, make it possible for Fox News to make more money than any other network. That's Ron in Sarasota. Here's an email from Blue. Blue writes, never give in to Trump's wall. Why hasn't the Red Cross provided tents, food, and care to the Central American migrants in Mexico? I think Mexico is providing a huge amount of aid to those migrants, and they're also trying to steer them back to their home countries. Do you think that, as that Fox News host said, that $5 billion is a piddling amount? Are you willing to borrow $5 billion more dollars to pay for President Trump's wall? And can you figure out ways to smuggle drugs into the country that involve going around the wall rather easily? I could think of a few. 813-239-9663. Luckily, I've got a real job and I don't have to smuggle drugs. Let's go to Paul in St. Pete. Hey, Paul, you're on M&F.
Yeah, I wanted to get a history book. Look up the Berlin Wall, the Iron Curtain. After we fought Germany, Japan, and Italy in World War II, the Russians built the wall. Who celebrated when it came down? Bye-bye.
All right, thanks a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of examples where walls didn't work. The Great Chinese, Great Wall of China, the Maginot Line didn't work. There's a lot of examples where walls didn't work. Thanks a lot for that call. Let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to Jack in Dover. Hi, Jack. You're on M&F.
Hi, yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. Just two quick points from my point of view. I would encourage your listeners to Google the acronym PIMA, P-I-M-A. It's municipal funds. The manager's there, one of them, David Hammer. And you'll see that every state, a lot of the states, have their own municipal funds to fund a variety of things, including security, homeland security. And so, with regards to borrowing money and our national debt, if we're borrowing money from Americans and paying them interest, I don't see a problem with that. I don't see a problem with a high debt, even if we're paying interest to ourselves. And the second thing would be that I think the government should stick with getting the wall built. Thank you, and I have to go.
Okay, Jack, thanks a lot. There's a Trump supporter there. I think that one of the questions I have is President Trump and all Republicans have really railed against the national debt and said that they think it's too big. Well, You're going to add to the national debt if you borrow $5 billion right now. Now, Jack is partially right. We do borrow from ourselves, but we also borrow from Japan and China, Europe, the Middle Eastern countries. They have invested heavily in U.S. treasuries, too, to fund our debt. So, yes, part of the money internal money that helps people who have bought a lot of treasury bills. But a lot of that money is exported, too, and goes to China. China has a huge American cash surplus. So you're not just borrowing money from Americans when you go deeply in debt. You're borrowing money from other countries. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jerry in Clearwater. Hi, Jerry. You're on WMNF.
Thank you very much for taking my call. And in step with one of your previous callers, I haven't heard Democrats screaming real loud about he promised that Mexico would pay for this wall, for one. And, you know, the Democrats wanted to put up some kind of border fence or something or another like that. But in my personal opinion, you know, if you look at history, that area has been in flux for centuries. And we've used the Mexicans like a redheaded stepchild. When we need somebody to do a job for us, oh, they're our friends. When we don't, we throw them out like yesterday's news. I'm kind of opposed to borders in general, and particularly that one. It's almost reminiscent to North Korea, but by no means as severe. But you've got families on both sides of that wall and have for hundreds of years. I just don't understand why people can't just get along and stop worrying about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, thanks a lot. You know, an interesting thing that is that a lot of the people that are trying to come into the U.S. are indigenous people from places like Guatemala. Well, who was here first in North America? Was it the Europeans or was it the indigenous people? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Bill in Sarasota. Hey, Bill, you're on MNF.
Yeah, I just have three points real quick. Number one, there is no such thing as a campaign promise. That I don't know why they continue to use those terms. It's not a campaign promise. It's, hey, what do you want me to tell you so that you will vote for me? That's one. Second thing is, when was the last time any government project came in even close to budget? Never. So if they're talking $23 billion, Lord only knows what it could end up being in the final analysis. And the third thing is, take $5 billion and triple the Border Patrol. That might really make a difference. That's all I got to say. Thank you,
Mike. All right, Bill. Thanks a lot. Here's an email from 239 area code. They say, anonymously, Fox News viewers are brainwashed by the conservative propaganda that they ingest. It's just that simple. And it's time we start. Okay, 239. And then James writes this, Trump is a con man, a pathological liar, and a dangerous man, but his supporters are the ones who scare me and will still be here after he's nothing but a bad memory. Let's go to, we're going to go to John in St. Pete, who's been holding the longest. John, you're on MNF.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a point and a question. I think this whole thing comes down to the shifting demographics where the brown people are going to outnumber the white people. It's all about power. And I think Donald Trump is getting people scared about him, vilifying them, because we don't want to lose power as a white race. And this is the way he's going to do it. And my other question would be, if we're going to take a border wall, isn't the Rio Grande River in the middle of this?
Yeah.
What side are we going to put the wall on?
I don't know. That's where you get up dividing people's ranches. That's where you get into that problem, too.
Yeah, but do we want it on this side of the river and give the Mexicans all the water?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it raises a whole lot of questions. That's why we're doing the show. John, thanks a lot. You know, and if you look back in American history and you looked at the incoming waves of Italian and Irish immigrants and other immigrants, there was always hostility. There was hostility in the 1800s. There was hostility to Catholics who were moving in big numbers in the late 1800s and early 1900s. They were considered the other. They were considered non-white. They were considered beneath what standards the existing population had in the U.S. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks a lot for tuning in to Community Radio, WMNF 88.5 FM. And Jeff Haynes has been our phone producer today. Nola is coming up in the next hour to host the Midpoint program. But first, latest news from NPR. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg.